Micah chapter 6. And Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Micah 6 verse 1. Listen to what the Lord says. Stand up. Plead your case before the mountains. Let the hills hear what you have to say. Hear, O mountains, the Lord's accusation. Listen, you everlasting foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a case against his people. He is lodging a charge against Israel. The mountains were there in the presence of God and his people when they made the covenant that they made with each other. They heard the terms of the agreement. And as a result, God calls them as witnesses to the fact that his people didn't keep their part of the deal. And of course, this is just figurative language, like so much of these prophecies. Verse 3, my people, what have I done to you? How have I burdened you? Answer me. Notice how God still loves his sinful people. That's, to me, the thing that really stands out. He will rebuke them, but it's done with tenderness. He still loves them. Verse 4, I brought you out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. I sent Moses to lead you, also Aaron and Miriam, by bringing them out of Egypt and giving them a God-fearing leader, Moses. God was giving them a solid start as a nation. I mean, how have I wronged you, Israel? I got you off to a good start. I saved you from Egypt. I gave you a great leader. Verse 5, my people remember what Balak, king of Moab, counseled and what Balaam, son of Beor, answered. Remember your journey from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the righteous acts of the Lord. And if you remember the story of Balaam and Balak, remember how Balak tried to destroy God's people while they were on the way to the promised land. But God stepped in and saved them, as he promised he would when they made their covenant. God is saying, what have I done that was wrong, Israel? How have I offended you? And they could not answer. They could not come up with anything. They could not justify their sin. Verse 6, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? So God said, what have I done wrong? And the prophet Micah responds on behalf of his people. And he acknowledges that their relationship is busted. And he asks how their relationship with God can be restored. Their covenant was broken by the sins of the people, and Micah asks how it can be made right again. All these fancy offerings, God? Is that what you're looking for? He continues in verse 7, will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He says, shall I give all that I have? Shall we, your people, give everything that we have as an offering, even our firstborn child? Will that make us right with you, God? And God's answer is going to be, no, that's not what I'm looking for. Verse 8, he has showed you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. That's what God wants. God says, you want to be right with me? Then you must humble yourself before me. You must walk with me. Not just one time, but you must walk with. You can't just humble yourself once. You must walk with me with humility. That's what I'm looking for. And the proof of their humility would be seen in their good works, because without good works, there's no right relationship with God. I don't care if it's Old Testament or New Testament. Good works don't do the trick. by themselves. A heart that is right with God, a humble heart before the Lord that trusts Him, that's what does the trick. The good works go along with it, though, if it's real. Verse 9. Listen, the Lord is calling to the city, and to fear your name is wisdom. Heed the rod and the one appointed, the one who appointed it. Heed the rod and the one who appointed it. God is saying, recognize why bad things are about to happen to you, Israel. Don't think that this is just a coincidence, that you've been living ungodly and all these bad things are happening to you, that that's just a coincidence. No. Recognize why bad things are about to happen to you. Understand that the nation which is about to conquer you is my rod of correction. It is my paddle, and you are about to get spanked. 10. Am I still to forget, O wicked house, your ill-gotten treasures and your short ephah, which is accursed? God says, am I supposed to overlook your cheating? How you shortchanged each other? How this was just your natural, normal thing to do? He continues in verse 11, shall I acquit a man with dishonest scales, with a bag of false weights? You were cheating your customers. Am I supposed to overlook that like it's no big deal? Verse 12, her rich men are violent. Her people are liars, and their tongues speak deceitfully. They were so used to being deceitful that it got to the point where it was a habit. Deceit came to them as naturally as breathing. 13, therefore, I have begun to destroy you, to ruin you because of your sins. In other words, it is because of these things that I am destroying your country. Verse 14, you will eat, but not be satisfied. Your stomach will still be empty. You will store up, but save nothing, because what you save, I will give to the sword. In other words, God says, you're in a no-win situation. Everything you try to do to avoid punishment is going to fail. Verse 15, you will plant, but not harvest. You will press olives, but not use the oil on yourselves. You will crush grapes, but not drink the wine. And so their enemy will rob their crops and steal everything that is in their stores. They will work for nothing as part of their punishment. 16. You have observed the statutes of Omri and all the practices of Ahab's house, and you have followed their traditions. Therefore, I will give you over to ruin and your people to derision. You will bear the scorn of the nations. Omri and Ahab were kings who God said did more evil than any of the kings that were before them. And the people should not have followed their lead, but they did. God's people are obliged to obey God and not go along with the ungodly ways of the world, even when their leaders are promoting it. When we disobey, we are punished. And that is why Israel was in such big trouble right here. And God wants it to be clear to them before the punishment hits. This is why it is happening. He wanted it to be a lesson. Next time, we finish the book of Micah, chapter 7. Until then, so long, everyone.